Therefore, in the field of science, he was supposed to be one of the foremost forerunners of modern science. It is only after Darwin and later on that his researches were surpassed. That was only recently in the 19th century. So, Aristotle, who lived in the 4th century BC, up to the 19th century, he was a leader, forerunner, in the field of logic. In the field of logic, which is a science of valid thought, how do human beings think when they are right on the right track? It's a subject of examination. How do they react? What is the operation in the mind when the mind is on the right track of valid thought, of correct thought? As you know, human mind is full of complexities. There are correct thoughts and there are incorrect thoughts. People think rightly and people think incorrectly. There are prejudices by which people think wrongly. There are biases in favor, partially. You have partiality for somebody, so you think in favor of that person, in spite of all the contrary evidence. You may have some kind of prejudice against somebody, so you think whatever evidence you give, you may think wrongly about him. These are incorrect thoughts. Now, Aristotle examined how the human thought works when it is on the right track, when human thought is correct. Now, he examined it very, very minutely, and he developed a science of it. The science which deals with the processes of right thinking is called logic. You must have heard the word logic very often, but this is the meaning of logic. How the human mind works, what is the process of human mind when it is on the right track, as a result of which it can come to a correct conclusion. This is the study of logic. And his study of logic, even today, every student of philosophy, every student of logic, even today needs to study, is required to study. Every university in the world, you cannot be a philosopher, you cannot be a logician without a good foundation in what Aristotle said about logic, even till today. It is true that during the last century, during the 20th century particularly, a new science of logic has emerged. But you can see from 4th century BC to the end of 19th century, by logic was meant only what Aristotle taught about logic. There was no change excepting a little change which was made by Leibniz, about whom I talked to you earlier. Leibniz was the only one who made some change in Aristotle's system of logic. But right from his time, 4th century BC, up to end of 19th century, logic remained the same as what Aristotle had laid down. And that is the importance of Aristotle. Fine. In the field of metaphysics, what is metaphysics? We have talked about it quite a lot. Metaphysics is a kind of a science, but not exactly a science. If you mean by science a body of systematic knowledge, it is science. But usually science is dealing with processes of things. There's a difference between process and the source of the process. When you study the source of the process, it is metaphysics. When you study the processes, it is science. So, he discussed the question as to what is the source of all the motion in the world. He gave a notion of what is called unmoved mover as a source. He said the world is moving, but at the root of it there is a reality which is unmoved, who does not move, and yet moves everything else. So he gave a notion which is called unmoved mover. It's a very interesting concept which we shall come back again in Aristotle in our Upanishad also when we shall deal with it. Unmoved mover, who moves not and yet moves everything else. Now this is the highest concept that he arrived at in his metaphysics. And this concept even now is still current. Many philosophers, even though they may differ from Aristotle, still respect this notion, even till today. Even some of the people who are following Aristotle, and they believe in Aristotle, even today, there are many people who are Aristotelians, even till today. And they expound this philosophy of unmoved mover. So you can see the influence and power of his thought of metaphysics. Now in the field of literature, even till today, there is no book on criticism of literature which does not start with Aristotle. At least in the West, there is no book on criticism of literature which does not use what is called rhetoric and poetics of Aristotle. He wrote a book on this subject, Rhetoric and Poetics. What is poetry? And what is the meaning of image in poetry? That is rhetoric. Rhetoric is actually a science or a study of image making. Various kinds of images that you can make. What are different forms of image making? That is rhetoric. And what is poetry itself? The vision in poetry. The element of beauty in poetry is poetics. The vision in poetry and the beauty in poetry, that is poetics. And what is the science of image making and various forms of images is rhetoric. You must have heard what is called figures of speech. When I look at this book and address the book, "Oh book, reveal your knowledge to me." It's an image. As if I'm talking to the book, as if the book is a living being. It's poetry. "Oh book, oh reveal thyself." If I speak to my book, like if you read Vikramor Vashiyam of Kalidasa, you should read this story of Vikram and Urvashi, in which a whole play is written by Kalidasa. Beautiful. And one of the most important poetical exposition is the frenzy of Vikram. When Urvashi's beloved is lost, she just disappears. She was just there and now she's no more there. This is the condition in which he was put. She's lost. She's not to be found anywhere. He's in a state of frenzy. And he looks at the elephant and says, "Oh elephant, you've stolen the gate of my wife." This is figure of speech. "Oh elephant, you've stolen the gate of my wife, because you walk exactly as my wife walks. How could you get this gate except through my wife? So surely you know where is my wife. Please tell me, where is she? Explain to me." And the bird sings and says, "This singing, only my wife knows how to sing. Only you can get it only from my wife. So you must be knowing where is my wife." He goes around like a madman, and he's a madman. This is one of the highest points of poetics, where the image making is so great. You are crowded with images that come upon you. It's a very big study how many kinds of images human beings can make. And without images there is no poetry. The distinguishing feature of poetry, as distinguished from prose, is that poetry is basically image making. If there are no images, it's not poetry. You read Savitri, for example, Sri Aurobindo Savitri, almost every line is an image. I mean, what a wonderful image. Glorious images. I mean, when you read even the small description of Savitri when she was a young woman, Parable of Dawn, Sri Aurobindo describes her as Parable of Dawn. Imagine the image, all the beauty of the dawn, all the beauty of Parable, in which everything is summarized, which gives you a message. And Sri Aurobindo describes Savitri as Parable of Dawn. What an image. The greater image making that you have, the greater is the poetry that you have. And Aristotle, 4th century BC, he wrote a full science on this subject, on rhetoric. And even today, all poets in the Western world, even today they refer to poetics of Aristotle. This is the greatness of this man.